In you, and it's good to be gathered together in the house of God this morning. This morning I'm thinking about something that we as adults use on a daily basis. It's a very helpful tool. We watch with fascination as babies start to pick up on this skill. Some adults exercise this skill fairly sparingly, and others exercise it with a great deal of vigor and repetition. I'm even struggling how to define this word without telling you what it is. In fact, I used a form of it in that last sentence. Any guesses? Okay, that's fine. This morning I'm thinking about our words. That comes out of our mouth. The whole process of communication is really a fascinating process. There are so many things that are going on in our brains, in your brains out there. The processor, we're going to use modern terms, it's up and running, okay? God designed that we could share with each other what's going on in our processor. I can share that with what's going on in your processors. I'm communicating with maybe 200 people out here today, and it's through these spoken words, these words that are passing over my lips, that I can communicate with you. You know, there's a fascinating cast of body parts, and I'm a little bit hesitant to even wade into this with Dr. Jenna here, but that make this communication process work. My lungs are expanding and taking in air, and they're pushing out air across my vocal cords. Those vocal cords are expanding and contracting, but it doesn't just come out as raw noise. I mean, it might sound like that, but it's with my tongue moving, my jaw moving, my lips moving, I can articulate those thoughts where you can hear. But that's still only half of the equation, because for you to participate in that, there's the whole auditory, the whole hearing process. And here I'm a little bit rusty, but your outer ear catches these vibrations that are going through these sound waves that are going through the air, and they're funneling them down into your canal, your ear, whatever, into your eardrum, and that's vibrating. And that carries that vibration on through, I think it was the anvil, the stirrup, and the third little bone in there. But anyway, and then through the auditory canal, and it gets hardwired into your processor, and you've been able to participate in what's going on here. Communication is a fascinating thing. So, it's cool. We all agree on that, right? And so, Lowell, you've described the process. Now, where are you going with this? You know, communication is such a useful tool. You parents that have a child, you don't know what in the world's wrong with them, but they're fussy, and you can't really do anything about it because they don't explain to you what it is. Your husbands may be that way, too. But anyway, verbal communication opens so many doors for us that we use our verbal communication in so many different ways. You know, our communication holds a tremendous potential for benefiting mankind. Oh, the gracious words that are spoken. But unfortunately, in our fallen state, words can be used in a very harmful and a very detrimental way. Instead of gracious words, they're barbed daggers. The tongue is an organ. It weighs about 4 ounces. It's relatively small in comparison to the other 200 pounds or whatever that you adult men may be carrying. But the interaction of that 200-pound man on society is hugely impacted by that little 4-ounce member. 4 ounces of incredible potential. Dating, courtship, betrothals are often buoyed along with many sweet, endearing words. The steady voice of a seasoned world leader or diplomat can smooth over and diffuse an escalating international conflict. In our homes, the kind, the reassuring words of a parent can soothe the anxieties of a frightened toddler or of an insecure adolescent. Oh, the power of wise and gracious words. But that's not the whole story. A fairly high percentage of marriages in America end up in failure and divorce. Those sweet, syrupy words that were exchanged earlier in the relationship are traded out for biting, critical, condemning words. The magic is gone and the marriage fails. The escalating international conflict is no longer moderated by the steady voice of a cool-headed world leader. Harsh rhetoric is spoken, sabers are rattled, and the conflict escalates. Dad may tell the insecure, struggling child to just get over it. And on that child drifts into seeking security from someone who understands who they are and what they need. There are several things that have combined to lead my thoughts here this morning. I'm sure that you know people who are very gracious and very generous with their speech. There's a lot of people like that around. But you may also know people who are harsh and curmudgeonly with their speech. I think that's a word, actually. They never compliment anybody on anything, or very seldom. And if they comment, it tends to be a critical comment. On the national scene, I think we've seen a lot of deterioration of just decency and politeness and graciousness in the press, in public figures, and in whatever. There's condescension, there's scorn, there's disrespect, and there's a normalization of profanity even. You know, I look at myself, and I assume you can look at yourselves this morning and realize that I've said things that I've regretted. I've said things that I wished I could have retracted or I just wouldn't have said them. Maybe things that we didn't intentionally say, but just, oh, I wish I would have worded that a little bit different. I can tend to be the one who's pretty guarded with my affirmations. I can vent my frustrations to those in close proximity to me. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about words. There are so many verses that speak about words. There's a whole passage that's devoted significantly to the use of the tongue. And I didn't know for sure how the time would come out, but I would like your participation if you could just belt out verses that you think of, or even commonly held more contemporary proverbs or sayings relating to our speech and the use of our tongues. Just fire them out. We won't pass the mic. I'll try to repeat them quickly. What do you have?
Life and death is the power of the tongue.
Life and death is the power of the tongue. I have that one down. Great. That's beautiful. Who else?
Swift to hear, slow to speak.
Let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, I think it goes. Very well. Right, a kind of a modern maxim. I mean, modern. I don't know, that might have been around for centuries, but that's one of them. Yes, excellent.
There's a reason God made us with 2 years.
Okay, yeah. Very good. In pitchers of silver, okay, yeah. Back there? Who was it? Okay, the words of the Lord. And a marvelous thing to be aspiring to hear someday. Okay, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, or something like that. Yeah.
If you have nothing to say, say nothing.
If you have nothing to say, say nothing. Count to 10 before you speak. Excellent, excellent. That is a tremendous concluding thought I want to look at just as we wrap this up. Who else? Let your speech I have many, many of these written down here, but it's a little bit hard to Okay, that's the thought. Oren, did you have something? No. Okay. Who else? Say it again, Leroy. I was trying to see where it was coming from. You need to enunciate more clearly. Go ahead. No, you're fine. Okay, words almost achieve the stature of deeds. Interesting. Joe, I think you had one. Yeah. Lord, make my words sweet and tender today. Tomorrow I may have to eat them. Yes, John. Yes, Jesus' words, I think, in Matthew and maybe one of the other Gospels. Right. Excellent. Excellent. Okay, that's good. Okay. Well, you're talking into some helpful things here. What is a whole passage or an author in the New Testament that gives a fair amount of press to the use of the tongue? James. And which is the chapter that talks so much about it? It's chapter 3. And I was going to, I have it here, but I'm not sure that we'll read through it. Maybe I'll just highlight a few things in chapter 3. The tongue is compared to like the bit in a horse's mouth. It's compared to like the rudder. And I made that comparison at the start here, how 4 ounces... it's got an outsized influence on the rest of that being as the rudder, as the bit in a horse's mouth. Melvin Nisley over in the butcher shop, I don't know if this was standard, but he had some spiel about he'd flop out the tongue when we were butchering or whatever, and this thing's is all full of poison or something like that. And, you know, little children would kind of have trouble figuring out what was going on here, but he was talking about this passage here in James about the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. No man, I think it's verse 8. Anyway, there's different things in James here that are very helpful as we look at the use of the tongue. And it's like, there's one verse particular that's interesting, and I'm just pulling it from my memory about for the tongue can no man tame. And so if it's a hopeless case, why do we even try? But I think there's an interesting little twist there that man may not be able to tame the tongue, but God is able to tame the tongue. So what are ways that are helpful for us to control or to learn to manage our tongue? Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's from our mouth or from our heart that our voice vocalizes what's inside us. Man can't tame the tongue. It's the work of God. For as small as it is, the tongue has an outsized influence. How are we going to condition the source, the fuente, of our water in there? And I think it's by spending time with God, with the Creator. I think of Psalm 1, the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither. Just talks about, speaks of a reassuring, a peaceful scene. Praise. It's a tremendous way to employ our lips, and it also helps to condition our hearts inside of us. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Hopefully this thinking a bit about our words this morning has gotten the wheels of our mind turning. People marveled at the gracious words that proceeded from Jesus' lips. Oh, that that could be said about us. You know, if you're worried, discouraged, about the times that you've heard your own lips spout ungracious words, hear the words of Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. This morning, let's find the solace and the instruction in the presence of our Master. Let's bow our heads for prayer.